Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got something to praise Him about, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've been washed and made pure and clean in my spirit, that there's no condemnation between me and Him, that I got the liberty just to lift up my hands and to praise and to magnify and to worship Him, amen, because He's my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made me worthy to praise Him, amen. Hallelujah. He made me worthy that I could lift up His name and shout it and magnify and glorify Him, amen. Hallelujah. All glory, all honor, all praise goes to Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? And I wish I could sing, you know, but I can't. But I sing with you and mess it up, and probably, yeah, probably the musician's going, I wish he could get in time. I wish he could get in tune. I wish he could this and that. And that's what my Lord's saying to me, too. Just line up with me, man. Get in tune with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He keeps twisting on them strings. Amen. You know, some of you know the messages Brother Pike preached, like inspirational vibrations and stuff. And, you know, to a musician, and that one string, you know, it might have 12 strings on that guitar, but one of them strings not be in line with it. And it does something to them. It just like, ugh, it irks them. And you know, a lot of times there's some of them I've seen them playing, boy, and they'd reach up there and hit that little knob real quick and they bring it in. You know, they're really trained and skilled to be able to do that while they're on the run or while they're playing or whatever. But you know that when that thing comes into tune, that vibration, man, everything just smooths out. You know, and I know I use aviation, but when you fly a twin-engine airplane, you know, you got to sync your props. And you got one prop that's not in sync with another one. And you get this, and it just wear you out in your mind, man. You grab that thing and you pitch it like this, and it'll go, come right in, perfect. Yes. And it just, you know, everything's right then. And you got it synced up. I want to be in sync with the Lord. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we get that wah, wah, wah through life. You know, the Lord's going, oh, please, son, just a little bit. You know, I mean, it don't take much to be out. It could be just, speaking of the props again, you know, to get that thing right in. You could just, it's so irritating. I've been out here in the yard working in a twin-engine airplane flyer, and I go, God, somebody tell the guy to sink in props, man. And you could hear it. You could really tell. And you know, but that's what I want to do. I want the master to put his hand on that props, man, and just tweak that thing in just a little bit and get that thing just right, amen, where I could be in tune with him. You know, everything shows the Lord. It doesn't matter if we're talking about musical instruments, aviation. It doesn't matter. Everything has to come into alignment with Him. He's been patient with me. Amen. Been gentle with me. Long-suffering. You know, we can, you know, here we go, you know, kind of thing. But you know what? I just say that to testify Him, but I don't want to press His grace. Take advantage of His kindness and take advantage of His mercy. Amen. And because there's a day, like he says, it could be like running into that she-bear, robbed of her whelps or of her cubs, man, and that tear you into pieces. You know, I heard so many exhortations from my pastor and Brother Pike. I heard so many times of him reaching and reaching and reaching for people. You know, he would love to unveil, but you know, God's got to unveil it to you. You know, I think in the scriptures, you know, in the writings, I believe it's in Romans, I could look it up, but, you know, he was talking about, he said, this wasn't given to me by man, but it was given by revelation. You know, we got to be careful with some of those scriptures to really understand the revelation. You see, you know, you could say, well, man, Brother Pike gave me this revelation. Absolutely wrong. Brother Pike was the revelation.
That's right.
You understand? If you really understand what the revelation is. You know, and you say, well, Jesus is the revelation. Well, maybe you're starting to get some understanding here. And you say, well, you're not saying that Brother Pike was Jesus, was you? And I'm saying, well, if he was no longer living and now it was Christ, then you tell me who it was.
Exactly right.
Amen. And the thing is, you say, well, did you worship the man? I worshiped the Christ. Amen. And the Christ made himself real in the man. That was the revealing of Christ. He was revealed to me in a man. So you see, when we get these scriptures, you know, I've had these ministers say, well, you know, I didn't come with no superior wisdom or eloquent of speech. They're quoting what a great man of God said. There are many times, and you know, that's the word of God in the scripture, but that man was speaking it by the Spirit. And many times they will take those things to justify not coming with a doctrine, but then we go over to other places in the scriptures, it says come with a revelation.
That's right.
Or a doctrine.
That's exactly right. Yes.
We have to have that.
Praise God.
We got to have something to give to people. Amen. You know, I watched Brother Emmanuel service there, and you know, and he had something by the Spirit of God that he, you know, you say, well, you know, he's green, he stumbled around. But you know what he had? He had a doctrine and a revelation that God gave him, and he done his best to deliver it to the people. And I don't care if he stumbles or slobbers or mispronounces or whatever.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, brethren, we're not going to stand before God with a polished ethics of religious retention. And I've come to an understanding that the more I know, the more I'm accountable.
That's right.
So a lot of times while we're seeking some kind of an intellect for we could stand before one another with some kind of a sword fight to prove that I'm more superior than you are. But I'm telling you, it really doesn't work that way. When you really come to the revelation, you make them superior and you're seeking after their need. You see, when I've sat under my pastor, I love to help. I love to work. I love to be in the ministry of helps. We talk about callings. You know, we got Brother Frady and Brother Emmanuel and Brother Luffman, you know, Brother Baker. We got these men, you know, that we honor in the fivefold ministry. Brethren, let me tell you something. We're all ministers, every man and woman in here. If you don't know that, then you're going to perish, every single person. You know, but let me tell you something. When we read in these gifts, we got to come down, and there's the ministry in helps and governments. And the Bible teaches there's the diversities of these gifts. So many times, man is looking, and they got this idea where they think they should be. But who's the craftsman? Who's got the clay on the potter's wheel? You know, who is the potter?
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes we try to fit into a spot that wasn't made for us. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to be in whatever. You know, when we talk about bodily parts, you know, the comely parts or whatever. But you know, every one of them has got to be come together. Amen. That's a struggle when we deal with the mind of humanity and mankind. It's a fight. And we could remove you from the brotherhood or remove myself from the brotherhood. The struggle's still there. When Jesus was by himself and went up on this mountain called temptation, that's what we refer to it. Do you realize the devil was there?
That's right.
And you know, you could separate yourself from the brethren, but you know what? The devil's still going to be there.
That's right.
When the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil was there also.
Right.
You know, that could be said if nobody showed up this morning except me. You know, your Brother Rob, praise God, man. He was faithful to the Lord. He showed up the house of God. So the devil's there too.
That's right.
Where'd he come from? Well, he followed me from my house. And I met his other many-membered body when you came in the door.
Yeah, that's right.
You say, that's not my testimony, Brother Rob. I'm going to testify, man. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God that I'm sealed in and hid away. And I say, I got that testimony too. But if I don't recognize the works that lay in the members and keep that thing at bay or killed or dead, then what do I have? I know I got you standing. Let's pray together. And I trust this morning that possibly the Lord will allow me to express some things that I could say maybe he's expressed to me. I'm finding some things that are so simple in the scriptures and the word, but then yet they're so hid. They're so hidden, so hid from Christianity. And you say, well, are they hid from the sons of God? No, they're hid from the wise and the prudent, but you were born in that thing. You know that? You know, and we always look over, man, oh yeah, he's hitting that brother. He's intellectual. He's hitting this brother. No, I'm hitting myself. Brother, there is an intellectual mind lays in the members of every man looking for preeminence and prestige and recognition. I want to be the one. And you know, we started out in school being trained and pressed to be competitive. You know, you want to esteem better. You know, I was trained to be that way, to be better. Even in our school down here, it said good isn't good enough when better is expected. And, you know, there's a positive thing in that. But it's going to be for the perfecting of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray together while we're standing. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service. And Father, as I stand before a brotherhood so small, Lord God, but I thank you for you being great and you being big and you being wisdom and understanding and revelation. And Father, again, as you know, we could quote fancy scriptures and we say, Lord, let me decrease it, that you could increase. Well, Father, easily said, but very difficult to do, especially without you. And Father, we're asking you to help us as men that we could decrease just a little bit from our vaunted up, puffed up ways, Lord God, that we could humble ourselves enough to receive a revelation this morning that we could be better utilized for you and your glory and your kingdom. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate being part of a brotherhood. I'm so thankful. You know, when we take and, you know, we say, well, there's a brotherhood in India and one in Africa and one in America or many-membered body. But I'm thankful that I found a place where God would have us to be by His will, His choosing. Amen. You know, I love North Carolina, brethren. I really do. And I love the people. But more so than that, I love being where God has prepared or made a way or sent me. And this might sound like an offensive statement to a Carolinian. And I do. I really, truly like it here. I really do. I don't want to say anything. But what I'm saying, I didn't come here because of the people. I didn't come here because of the country or because of the real estate or because of the economy or anything. I was sent here. Now, if I was just a natural man, just looking for a place, you know, to live. And I don't know. I met a man the other day and I met him in an RV park when we were traveling. And I saw he had a Texas plate on his RV. And I said, where's your home at? And he said, right here. He pointed this RV. And I said, well, I see Texas plate. He goes, that's just where my check comes to. He retired military. He says, I live right here in this thing. In the wintertime, I spent it either in Arizona or down in Florida. And he said, I got a daughter that lives up in Washington State, and I'll go up and spend about 3 months with her. I got another son that lives over in Michigan. I go spend about 3 months with him. And I got another son in another place. He said he spent, I think the other one was in Florida. He spent 3 months with him. And naturally speaking, okay, man, I thought that's pretty great. You know, the man ain't tied down. He's just, you know, drifting around and enjoying his retirement, him and his wife. So what are you expressing, Brother Ram? I'm saying that, hey, naturally speaking, I said, man, pretty great, huh? We were working on aircraft down in the central coast of California. Beautiful place. And I remember standing, my father was looking at a piece of property. He was up on a cliff, right on the Pacific Ocean, looking out across, man. Beautiful. And I remember the realtor saying, and this was in the early 80s, or no, it was not, it was in the mid-70s, and said, this is I can't remember if it was $1 million view or $100,000 view, I don't remember. But in other words, that's what this view cost. If you want to buy this piece of land to build, you're going to pay this much money for that view. And you say, what are you saying? Well, you know, again, if I'm looking carnally or naturally speaking, you got a home on wheels, you could pull up there and, you know, be partakers with $1 million view or whatever without having to buy it. You know, and then you just cruise on down the road the next day. Amen. And you say, you know, the Bible says, Brother Rob, out of the abundance of a man's heart, it speaketh. They said, what is that your desire? Well, I'm rending a veil between a natural man and a spiritual man. My desire is my life be spent for the Lord and do what His will is. Amen. Brethren, when we're vacation-minded and we're seeking after what we desire and what we want, we'll get it. And this becomes our kingdom right now, a temporal kingdom. We just have it for a while. You know, we talk about mortifying, killing, and things. Sometimes you got to recognize what you want to kill. You can't kill something unless you see it. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes we take and say, well, God wants to give us the desires of our heart. The only way He's going to give you the desire of your heart is when your desire matches His desire. And you say, why do you say that? Well, I mean, if you got the desire for another man's wife, is God going to give that to you? Are you that stupid to think that's what the scriptures mean? I know that sounds offensive to say stupid, but I mean, somebody that thinks that they're just, you know, well, the Bible says God's going to give me the desire of my heart. You know, and I see so many scriptures taken out of context so oftentimes, you know, it says, well, to the pure, all things are pure. That's exactly right. You got to be pure for things to be pure. But if you ain't pure, you can quote that scripture, and you ain't going to make your perversions and sinful lust and pleasures pure. That's not what the scriptures are saying. And we take so many things out of context of such. I want you to turn with me this morning over to Luke, the 16th chapter. I'm not sure where we'll go from there, but I do want to read a little bit right here and start out with a parable right there at the very first verse there. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. You know, I could stop there and preach a message from the Lord, from heaven, from God. If I find myself travailing before the Lord for growth, revelation, strength, wisdom, understanding, I got to go right here to stewardship. And I know, even though we're reading this parable this morning, it isn't really the context of what God has put in my spirit, but stewardship is something very, very important in God, to be a steward. Now, if I ask you to stand to your feet that has failed stewardship in Christ, I think we'd all have to stand, and I'm already standing. And you know, you say, well, I've been a pretty good steward, Brother Rob. You know, some of you could say, well, Brother Rob, man, I'm out here working all day yesterday at the church, man. I'm wringing wet, doing things as unto the Lord, and you're going to reprove me for stewardship? Sure I am. That's not your entrance into the kingdom. That's just showing your loyalty and faithfulness to him, that you're not seeking after your own, that you're seeking after him. And he can honor that and bless that. And he will and can, but we don't want to get the old saying, the cart before the horse. Yes, we need to have these kind of things in our life, showing that we're seeking him first. But let's go again. It says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. I don't want to hear that from the heavens, do you? Then the steward said within himself, anybody have a conversation within himself? What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. You see, there's a revelation right there that this man is coming to, brother. Because he's finding out, without this, he's nothing. I'm too ashamed to beg. I'll tell you, maybe you could say, but Brother Rob's got pride. I've been reproved for that, Brother Pike. When he sent me up here to pastor a church, I wouldn't take up an offering. And it was a pride issue. It was a pride and a vow that I had made that was foolish and ignorant in the early years of ministry, because I was working and I was in aviation and I didn't need money. And I met so many ministers that were going into the ministry for money. I was being trained and in a program and training for ministry and going through schooling. And this one guy in there goes, I can't wait to get ordained before I can quit working. And I looked at him like, what? I mean, that was his motive. A lot of ministers and preachers are lazy. They don't have no real press or ambitions to really win souls. It's just an occupation and a job. If you go and look at people on jobs, in many cases, they're not there for the best of the employee or for the corporation. The ones that are, you'll see them excel. But a lot of them are there, they're going to do as little as possible. As little as possible just to get a paycheck. And they'll just be down at the bottom the rest of their life. They're never going to go nowhere. But when they would pursue, because it's a biblical principle, they would pursue to make the master, talking about their employer, to press for them, then God's going to recognize that and you'll see them raised up. That's just God's way and God's principles. Amen. Still speaking about stewardship for a moment. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. Sometimes we as brethren sitting under a great man of God, there would be a lack of stewardship in our part, and we'd see the pastor removing our post of duty from us. Well, that's an unclean feeling. When you have failed to be faithful, When you have failed that you really had given your life as a sacrifice, and all of a sudden the man of God does that, that's a very terrible place to be. Some of you have never felt that or been there because you've never applied yourself to know the difference, to have something removed from you. That's a frightening place because it has such a spiritual significance of your well-being. If you could only find that mind, it's a mystery to most. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Cut it in half. Then said he another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. How many times have you quoted that passage? How many times have I quoted that passage? There's a really fine line of revelation right there, an understanding right there. But laying within this understanding could be the reason that God cannot use you. For the brethren that are in the ministry or partaking, and they're maybe looking for the choosing of the fivefold, okay? That's not my place. I could use the mind of Christ to the best of my abilities to see if you've met the qualifications for a choosing. I can do that. But at the same time, I'm serving a God that could look beyond your stumbling and staggerings and say, you know, this is the one I have chosen. And I've got to make sure that I am walking, as we talked about those instruments of fine tuning, with him. You say, Brother Rob, you're long suffering with some of us. No, not at all. He's long suffering. I just got to be in his mind. If he wants to go the extra mile, I go the extra mile. If he says I'm done, then I'm done. You see, because I'm not of my own. I'm a servant of him. That's the revealing of Christ. If you see the revealing of judgment, it's him. If you see the revealing of grace, it's him. If you see mercy, it's him. If you see patience, it's him. All honors to him. And you say, well, you've perfected. He perfected me by his labors and works at Calvary. So I'm trying to bring his perfected works into a manifestation for you. Not for me, for you. I seek after the revelation for you. Not for me, but for you. And you see, I'm learning some principles that are so simple. And you think, well, are you hard-headed? Why does it take so long to come to that? And you could look at me and say that very same thing, but I could look back at you and say, why haven't you come to that? Amen. The things of God are simple. But then yet when it's hid, it don't matter how simple it is, it's hid from you. Let me ask you a question. If I told Brother Jonathan Lambert, I said, Brother Jonathan, there's a combination hanging on the door lock over there on my shed. I said, you spin the dial 3 times to the right, and then you go to a 5, and then you turn it back around twice to the left, and you go to an 8. And then you go back one time around to the right and a 4. Now, is that simple? Come on, is that simple? Okay, but let's make it even simpler than that. I got a key, a little master key. Huh? The master key to a lock. And I said, here, John, take that key and open that lock up over there. Well, that's simple, isn't it? But how simple is it if the key's hid from him? I'm asking you that. Now, if I hide the key, it's not that simple. Man, I'm locked out. I can't get in. I'm locked. Well, it's real simple. All you got to do is take the key and put it in lock, but I got to have the key. Amen. But sometimes it's hid. We hide it through our carnality, through our intellect, is how we hide things from being able to really come to the fullness of the potentiality of a spirit-filled life in Christ. Amen. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. I would like to expound on that, and I will, but let's go on just for a minute. And I say unto you Make to yourself friends of the mammon. Some of you, boy, like that scripture. But you better take it with a revelation and understanding. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fell, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. What are you going to do with that, Brother Rob? I'm going to go get me a job at UPS, what I'm going to do. No. Line upon line, there's a revelation laying in here. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Therefore, you have not been faithful in an unrighteous mammon. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, that's really simple, if we could really understand it. We're going to be talking about all of us this morning. Like I said, I don't want people to think that I'm talking about the fivefold ministry this morning. I believe there's a scripture. Let me see right here. Give me just a second here. Brother, I'll let Brother Chuck pull it up to do a fast. Put 1 Corinthians 12 chapter right there for a moment. I believe down at the latter part of that is where I'm wanting to go. Let's go to the first part. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would have you not to be ignorant. Okay, we know the fivefold ministry. Is that a gift? We know it is. I know a lot of times when we start talking about spiritual gifts, you know, we want to get into, you know, tongues, interpretations, prophecies, healings, and miracles. That's okay. Let me read down here. Let's go to verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Goes on, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? You know, this man called himself an apostle, brother from Trinidad Island. We went down, tried to work with him in his church, and he was such a stench in the nostrils of humanity and God that I tried to work with him for a season and I had to depart. But he says, why don't you call me an apostle? He goes, why don't you address me that way? And I said, brother's good enough. Brother was a compliment. For me to call him brother was a compliment. But many times men are looking for prestige and fame and recognition and things like that. And that's what makes this world kind of go around. Not removing an apostolic type calling or anointing or prophetic type anointing or calling or teacher. The Bible said the minister is to be apt to teach. If you can't teach, that would be an immediate removal of the choosing. You hear me say, so I'm time many are called, but few are chosen. I'm not the one to put that in there. That's the word of God. And, you know, there's times I thought I understood that, and I did in part and in measure, some 30, some 60. But as it comes to more revelation and more understanding, sometimes a man could have a calling in his life and he's looking at the apostolic anointing. I want to establish churches. I want to be oversight over all these works. But you're not showing yourself faithful over the unrighteous mammon. Right there is a reason of not being chosen. The unrighteous mammon. But you say, so that would be where I can't be utilized in the fivefold ministry? You can't even be utilized in the ministry of helps. In the ministry of helps, there's a little more grace maybe than in the fivefold ministry. But it's still a ministry. It's still a calling. Have a good name within and without. You see, the good name within and without would have to do with being faithful over unrighteous mammon. You realize that? You see, the things of this world would be considered unrighteousness in God. But you know, if we're not faithful over the unrighteous mammon, it said that we can't be faithful over the greater matters or the spiritual things. You see, let's make it simple for a moment. You see, a man could be in a perversion in the spiritual realm. Jesus tried to make this in a very simplistic way. He said, a man even look upon a woman, he committeth adultery. He was removing it out from under the letter of the law of the action, of the physical action between a man and a woman. But he was bringing it into a thought in a spiritual dimension and realm. So you can see, as you hear me say from the sacred desk so many times, that a man could be in hell, perishing in hell as a sodomite, and never been in that kind of sexual perversion. You see, naturally speaking, we see that man left his own natural estate, we might say, you know, and turned in his own lust one towards another. We could talk about the perversion of it. But there's a reason for it, because the thing is that if a man wants to be a spiritual leader and he's involved in the physical acts of sodomy, he is removed. He's not chosen. He has no say-so in the matter. Now, that's getting it pretty simple, correct? I mean, you know, so, well, I can see that. Well, the church world doesn't see that, do they? Well, you know, that's looking... Sometimes we go to the real extreme darkness. When you're talking about the perversion of sodomy and, you know, homosexuals and different things and such, I mean, when we've gone down to the dark of dark, you know, yes. But let me tell you, when you start rending the veils and you get the Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit, we get down to some real finite sometimes. And you could see a man that might have all the I's dotted and T's crossed, but then yet he could be so, when you get down to the finite of things, things that could be a real hindrances. We're looking to come to a revelation. I was listening to a message of Brother Pike, but something that come out in mind, I made mention to a couple brethren yesterday about this particular message, and it might even be what prompted some of this morning, because it's in my spirit. But he was talking about military. You know, I remember when I was a child and was, you know, thinking, man, about the draft. Because the draft, it dropped out probably about the time Chuck come to draft age. Is about when it dropped out, because him and my brother was supposed to be going down and signing up for the draft. My older brother, him and Chuck, about the same age. And they stopped the draft about right then. The Vietnam conflict had backed off, and they stopped the draft. You know, I was at age, you know, coming up to an age, I'm thinking, man, it's just, you know, 2-3 years away, man. I'm going to have to go and sign up for the draft. And I had friends, and, you know, they were older than me. They were my brother's friends and different things that would have been drafted and gone to Vietnam. And Brother Pike was using the calling in somewhat similar of a way. When you were called by United States military and drafted, they said, okay, you're called, but you had to be chosen. You realize that? You might go in. You might not make it through the first half a day, because one of the first things they're going to do is give you a physical. I remember guys getting thrown out because they were flat-footed. I was thinking about getting a steamroller and running my feet over for I'd have a reason not to go. I remember my father talking to me and said, son, we can go down and get this particular waiver that I was already in training. And he said, if you've got an ag pilot, you know, and the certification, he said, because there's a need for you here on our soil. You wouldn't, you know, have to go. I remember him speaking about those things. You say, what, was you afraid to go and honor your country and go to war? It wasn't a good war. Is there ever a good one? Sometimes there is. There's some real cause that they're there for. But this war had so many political stipulations in it that I think if we're going to put American soldiers in harm's way, here we go getting into politics a moment. But if we're going to put our soldiers in harm's way, we don't need to tie their hands and say you can only fight with one hand tied behind your back. I don't think we should limit them. Go in and get your job done and be done with it. That's the way U.S. soldiers fought in World War II. When they went to the Korean conflict, they started getting political and started tying hands and saying you can't go beyond this parallel, and they got all this. And then it done the same thing going on down from there in these different conflicts. And you say, well, I didn't come to hear about history of wars. Well, you're in a war. And the things that you're not seeing, I could bring you into an understanding through the things that you can see, that you can get a revelation of something for you could make alterations in your walk. And the ones that need to hear what I'm saying the most would be the ones that ain't listening because they already know. That's just the difficulty of bringing a revelation to mankind and to people. If I'm trying to train you to lay tile or to fly an airplane or drive a diesel truck, and you're sitting there telling me how much you know, I can't help you at that point. I've had men come to me and ask me questions, and they're telling me how much they know, but I don't even really get a chance to really answer the question. They ask a question, and they're telling me all about it. I'm thinking, well, what'd you ask for? That's just mankind. That's the way mankind is. You say, well, you're reproving me this morning. I'm reproving all of us, amen, because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And some 30, some 60, some 100, some might have a little greater revelation or a little greater understanding in certain things. That brings you to more of an accountability. But back speaking about this draft, you get drafted into this thing, you're called. You're called by Uncle Sam. You're called by the U.S. Army. You're called in, you go over and get a physical, you don't pass, so you weren't chosen. If they struggled and they fought and they travailed and they warred and they said, okay, I'm going to accept this. This is what I'm talking about, me. I didn't accept the calling. I was kind of happy with what I was doing, carnally speaking. Flying all over the United States. The news crews, the news media, and all the people they wanted to come out. A lot of glamour, a lot of prestige. When you show up into a place on government contracts or fire bombers, people are excited about those things. Is that what brought you to it? I was a man. Men like recognition. They like flattery. They like to be seen. You know, flattery is a gift that'll destroy you and kill you. Priests love gifts. Oh, yeah, brother, that was a fine message. And you do this, and you walk around. And I'll tell you what, that'll destroy you. You see, you don't see it as a problem, but I see it as a problem because I know what's laying there, and there's nothing but heartache and pain and hurt. And that would be a disqualification to a choosing. So we find this man goes into a called by the military, and he's got to go through physicals. He's got to go through training. So he passes the physical exams, and then he starts going through training. We had to blow a pilot out because of fear. You know, when you get into an emergency situation, if you can't stay calm. Brother Josh just went through training and different kind of things for he could meet a criteria that he feels like he's called to be a police officer. Okay, great. Sister Gina's daughter thought the same thing. So, you know, she's sitting in the same academy, sitting there wearing the same nice pressed clothes and the little badges and all the things and saying, hey, let's show yourself worthy of a uniform. Let's show that you're going to iron it. Let's you're going to press it right. You're going to take care of it. It's going to be tucked in properly. The tie's going to be tied right. You got your hair the right length and all these. These things are all qualifications to a choosing. Dependability. You don't show up for school. You don't show up for class. You're going to get kicked out. So here's two people that we know, one in our presence, one that we know, and she wasn't chosen because she didn't meet the criteria of obedience. It was a criteria to be a police officer. You had to be obedient. You have to show up. You have to be there. You have to be timely. So here we find the being disqualified because of this. So what about how much more so in the spiritual revelation? Now, so listen, brothers and sisters and children and youth and whoever has the ear to hear what I'm saying this morning. I know everybody's thinking that I'm speaking to the fivefold ministry. I'm speaking to every one of us. Brethren, if you don't have a ministry, you're going to perish. The Bible said people perish without a vision. A vision is a ministry. You understand that? Sister Barbara, we use her for an example. She has made a ministry out of keeping the church clean. You could say, Brother Manny's made a ministry out of striping the lawn out here and making it look perfected and straight. Man, that's an awesome ministry. It truly is. If you give a prophet a glass of water, you become partakers with him in his reward. What about when you stripe the church grounds or weed eat the yards? Come on, brethren. We discount these little things. Despise not the little things, the Bible teaches us. But sometimes we despise those little things and we're looking for the apostle. Come on, man. That's sickening. I told you about a preacher rebuking me because I had nail bags on. And let me tell you something. If the man would have only known that was one of the criterias to be chosen. And he would never see that because he was in this mind of, man, you're the preacher. Boy, God called you, man. Everybody's going to take care of you. Brother Tab expressed it to me. Now, we know that we see the differences between the black worship and the white worship. There should be no black and white in the things of God and the Spirit. But you see, when we go over and we're looking at it and making analyzations that way, there is a difference. They worship differently. They dress differently. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is something that runs in the black churches, not in the white churches. All men's hearts are fashioned alike. I don't care if you're brown, black, white, yellow, green. I don't care what you are. All men are wretched and their hearts continually evil and wicked. But he was expressing to me about some of the things in the black church. I've seen it. You know, you got this guy up on the stage and you got these guys standing behind him, boy. You know, and it's all projection of, look at me, man. I'm on the platform. I would rather spit in their faces, look at them. I'm sorry. I know I sound crude, brethren, but I'm telling you, I hate the projection of anything. And that kind of pride is a removal right there, brethren. They're not going to be chosen. You see, if we do anything, it needs to bring the preeminence to Jesus and Him alone. And many times, the gifts of God could come to you as a brother or a sister or a child, as a man or whatever, and these gifts come, and then all of a sudden you learn to yield to it and you exercise it, and then it's like, boy, you're walking tall. Yes, man. I know, brethren, I'm making a point here, a valuable point, because I've seen it. Brother George sat down and talked with me. He said, Brother Rob, I sent this man of God out. This was his name. This is where I sent him, and this is where he failed. I sent this one out. This is what he'd done, and this is where he failed. I sent this one out. This is what he'd done. This is where he failed. So there's no new thing in this move, brethren. There's no new thing in this thing. The qualifications of the ministry has not changed from 1945 to 2017. Or I could go back farther. We can go back to 5 AD if you want. The qualifications of the saints are the same. Now I know this, Brother Tab doing some things to get his credentials back that he had before he was incarcerated. But driving a tractor trailer is very similar in Georgia as it is in North Carolina or on California. There's going to be certain criteria that you must meet. You could show up with your learner's permit. You could show up and you've already passed the test. You could show up and you've done all those things, but there is a criteria to complete the choosing, to hand you a certification that, okay, you're ready to go. So there's many requirements that had to come in line there. I remember when I went and got my student pilot certificate. I didn't have to do anything but pass a physical to get that. Boy, and I had a little certificate in my pocket that said student pilot. I could have went and got that without knowing nothing about an airplane. But there was something that I had to start doing to meet the qualifications to go forth and go forward. Brethren, everything in this world has to be qualified. Everything. If you're going to get a job at McDonald's, they're going to qualify you this way. And I'm not trying to make people that work at McDonald's some kind of a lesser people, but what I'm saying, and we're going to go down to that point. A guy flipping hamburgers at McDonald's doesn't seem to have the prestigious things. Very seldom we see him driving Porsches, but surgeons do. Airline pilots do. So, you know, looking at it in the carnal concepts or aspects of a man, you know, I could say that even flipping burgers at McDonald's, there's a qualification. They're going to give you a uniform. And when you show up, you're going to be in this particular attire. Or you're not going to go to work. There's going to be some kind of a criteria that you got to meet. But we remove that in the kingdom of God and in the Spirit. Oh, He loves you just the way you are, and everybody's going to come in, and everybody's going to be partakers of this kingdom with absolutely no qualifications whatsoever at all. That's rather foolish. Well, you're going to bring it to works, aren't you, Brother Rob? Absolutely. Because we do know this, right? That without faith, no man can please God or see God. And without faith, it's imputed as sin. So we're going to say, now you're going to go to faith. I'm going to go beyond that. Because it's by His Spirit. Not by faith, not by power, but by Spirit, saith the Lord. How'd you get His Spirit? Through predestination. Amen. So, we're talking about qualifiers. Brother Chuck used that word the other day. Just now, when I said that, it came back to me. We were in discussion about some things. And I told him when he said that, I said, man, that could inspire a real message, a real sermon. The qualifiers. The qualifiers. God, I wish I would have remembered that before this morning. The qualifiers. How come we want to remove the qualifiers? There's so many other places I can go to in the scriptures. I can go over in Timothy. I could talk about when they're taken and choosing, even deacons. Servants in the house of God. Do you realize the qualifiers were more complex than any qualifiers that the ministry uses today? A man must be full of the Holy Ghost. Boy, they're disqualified, a whole bunch of them right there. They're full of self, full of intellect, full of pride, full of knowledge, full of education. You see, because the world we live in, they put so much prestige and so much recognition and education that it's adapted into the ministry. And you say, well, I don't see it that way, but you do. We qualify ourselves through knowledge. Oh man, so oftentimes I've talked about this knowledge. It puffs you up. Knowledge puffeth up. But then yet it says the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, all but by the same Spirit. So again, this two-edged sword is going to differentiate between your wisdom. Qualifiers. Being qualified, that I could do something for the Lord. Have a good name within and without. Being good with unrighteous mammon. You know, if you have a problem here, at least you can go to the unrighteous mammon for help, huh? But what happens when you goof that up? They're going to run to the house of God. How many people were trying to be qualified that they could sing gospel music, and because they found out there was more money to be made in the fame of rock and roll or country western, you see, they just lost their qualifications to be able to sing gospel music. And many of them will still go back and forth anyway, and the people love it because they like to intermingle with light and darkness. The lukewarm things, savoring the things that would be of the flesh. Amen. Let me read a couple scriptures here. Y'all got just a moment this morning? 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I put that there for a reason. Now, right there, we might be thinking, well, that would go more so towards the fivefold ministry. I say, yes, it would. But then yet, we have to take it to each and every one of us. Some of you that knew Brother Pike, that sat with him, under him, fellowshipped with him, I could say, let's just make it simple. I could be out working on airplanes all day and I come into his presence. He said, hey, Brother Rob, how are you today? I said, doing fine, brother. He said, what you been up to? Man, I've been over at the airport working on this airplane. I was running compression and timing the valves on this 2800 and stuff. And he said, well, that's interesting. And man, just like that, he'd have that conversation converted to something that is going to bring a revelation, something that's going to bring something edifying that fast. I mean, you ain't going to be tarrying in your day and in your carnal concepts of what you're doing. He loved airplanes, loved talk about them. He loved things like when he'd see a man, there was a lot of things that I did that intrigued him. Not saying, oh, whoopee-doo, puff him, I was saying, but I did things of restoration. I could take an old car that was worth nothing, and I could take it and pull it into my shop and rebuild it and glorify it and make it into something. That thrilled him because he saw the revelation of it. He could have cared less about the car, the year, the make, the engine, the horsepower. But he saw something in taking something that was without, that was a castaway, that was already used up and dried up and no good, and bring it back to life. If you were in agriculture, lacking the proper words of terminology, and you said, Brother George, I found this flower, the pot man had been neglected, and the thing was wilted, laying over and half dead, but I took it home and I cared for it, I watered it and done it, that would thrill the brother's heart. Because that's what he thought about things. He looked at everything that was done and looked for a revelation in the spiritual aspects of it. We have taken, I wrote a little track, I think it was, or something, and struggled for words of expression to express what I had in my spirit. We can't diminish or deplete the Holy Ghost in such a way as make him weak. But we have diminished everything down into some intellectual concept for recognition. You know, I could say the revelation of Jesus Christ, we have diminished this thing down into some intellectual head knowledge of quotes of great men of God. God have mercy on us. You see, we've taken something simple and complicated with our own intellect, for we could feel like we've achieved some kind of a place. But brethren, the revelation of Jesus Christ is so simple. It is one of the most simple, easy things to comprehend and understand. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the love of God being revealed through humanity, through you, revealing God's character, God's attributes, God's love, God's mercy, his compassion, his unselfishness. And when we have a ministry and it's about me, that's not the Christ being revealed. It's not the revelation of Jesus Christ at all. But because we don't want to live an unselfish, disciplined life of to bring the attributes of God, we're going to find a substitute of acceptance. This is what the whole religious world has done. We're going to find another way of being accepted in this so-called place or whatever we think is. And we're going to come up and use another I don't really want to say antidote right here, but when we have a symptom, usually we need an antidote. But we're looking for another something to satisfy us. And many times it could be something that isn't going to bring strength or benefit to us. I know I shared with so many of you over the months or years at different times, you know, about when God really unveiled. Some of us are so intellectual when it comes into diet. We're so intellectual, we've read so much, we're so confused ourselves that we'll never do any good. I'm sorry to say. We just polluted our mind. But see, to me, being skilled in nutrition or knowing what and this and that is one thing, and I could commend you for that and say, hey, thank you for your understandings and things. But the revelation, when he showed me by revelation, when the Lord unveiled it to me and I saw this thing, it opened up another world to me. I mean to tell you, it was thrilling to me. You know, and maybe it doesn't take much to thrill me, but when something is unveiled by the mind of revelation or by the mind of Christ, it's thrilling to me. And when it was exposed and I seen it, then I understood why America's obese. I understand that. I see it perfectly clear now. And I understand that I'm not dealing so much just with the inadequacies of understanding of food or the proper food table and thing. It has a revelation of in the spirit. And man is consuming and consuming and consuming, thinking they're bringing nutrition to themselves, and they're killing themselves. They're stopping their hearts. They're blowing out their kidneys. They're poisoning their bodies. And they think they're doing themselves a good. So, you know, okay, we're going to go down the trail of dietitian again? No, I'm speaking spiritually speaking. We do the same thing. We get in and we eat and we eat and we eat social media, from this prophet, from this teacher, from this pastor, from this missionary, and we're eating all this stuff and we become spiritually glutton and we're killing ourselves and destroying ourselves. And we got the right things to say. We got the proper things to say. I could tell you about this. Oh, you're going to talk about this, but let me tell you this. Brother Pike used to say this so oftentimes. He goes, sometimes we find ourselves digging through the garbage can for a biscuit. He said, I'd just soon get mine out of the oven. But we can be out there digging in social media and in all these kind of things trying to get a biscuit, but you're getting something that has been contaminated. How many eight of doctrines that have contaminations in it? I got a letter from an old minister friend yesterday. Some of you met him about 20 years ago. I had him come over and preach for us at Fairfield, Brother James Aikens. Yeah, we could talk about Aiken and what it had to do with and thus us and us. He was Baptist, I was a heathen. Come knocking on my door every Friday night. How many of you heathens remember what Friday night stood for? Man, we got the weekend off, man. They have to go to work in the morning. I apologize to you to speak carnal, but that's the way heathens think. You know, had the pot, little tray underneath the couch there. Boy, you pull that out on Friday night and set it up on your coffee table. Praise God, you got your paycheck cashed and you got your couple 12 packs in the refrigerator. I'm not glorifying this stuff. I'm just talking about heathens. If you relate to this and still do that, you're on your way to hell. And the smoke of your stench is going to be smoking out of eternal damnation forever and ever. You need to get born again. Well, this Baptist preacher had enough love for the heathen and enough love for souls. The man, he'd come over every Friday night. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, man. And I'd slide the pot back underneath the couch, try to suck the beer down before I got to the door. He'd come and sit down and talk about the Lord with me. Started bringing a conviction to me. He said, why don't you pray tonight? All right. There was something in my spirit. He was calling on it. Oh, he didn't believe in the gifts. He didn't believe in tongues. He didn't believe in all those things. But he loved the Lord. Man, I'd be downtown with my buddies, man, standing downtown doing what ignorant heathens do. And I'd see him driving by in his car. And I'm thinking, oh, God. And man, he'd pull right in. He'd see me and pull right in, get out right amongst. Hey, what you guys doing tonight, man? Well, I'm trying to hide my beard, really, if you want me to be honest with you. You know, you throw your cigarette down on the ground, you put it outside, enough reverence and respect for the man. Was you a hypocrite? I was a heathen, I said. You understand there's a difference between a hypocrite and a heathen. Amen. A hypocrite is when he gets involved with this guy and he's religious with him and then he's going out doing those things. This guy was just coming under, bringing me under conviction. Well, one of my little buddies would be standing up there in town, drinking and partying. We decided to go on a fishing trip all night, drinking, and he drowned. So I went to his funeral. His parents were Pentecostals. This man labored and toiled to bring the gospel to me, to get me under conviction. He sowed a lot of things into my heart and my life, working with me and loving me. Never went to his church one time. But when I was at this Pentecostal church, that man preached a sermon, and there was probably 100 people there, and he had had everything. He was right down my throat the whole time. And I'm thinking, you know what? I buried my brother. I buried my grandmother. I buried these pilot friends that I knew. I buried this and buried that. And this dude's talking to me. He said, hey, when's your funeral, dude? Have you made the preparations? Not at all. I knew I was lost. As soon as he was done preaching his sermon, he walked straight to me. I was the only one there in that man's mind. He left the 99 and went after the one, took advantage of a funeral. He said, why don't you come to church with me? And I said, sure. I went to church, very first church service. I'm the heathen. I didn't raise up in a Christian home, brother. I didn't raise up, you know, learning about the Bible, the Word of God, nothing. I go to church. The very first services, he gets up behind the thing, tells everybody to stand up, probably about the size of this congregation right here. And he said, Brother Coons, he goes, I want you to open us up in prayer. The Pentecostal family that buried their son that I knew, they were so angry with that preacher for doing that they were going to go for a committee and try to get him voted out. But that man was following the mind of the Lord because he knew that there was something in my spirit. Just like the other guy would come to my home, he said, you pray tonight. And there was something happening down within the deeps, the depths. This guy calls on me, and there was something moving down in my spirit that he was calling forth. You understand what I'm saying? There was things happening. So as I started learning doctrine in a church full of false doctrine, but I was still learning some proper doctrine, God was moving in my spirit. I got filled with His Spirit, got filled with His power, started making alterations and changes. If I went back to where I was at then, I would sell out to the devil. But I wasn't of the devil then because God was drawing me. But this Baptist preacher friend still kept coming over to my house. So I started discussing with him things that I'm learning and understanding on the other side. And boy, me and him started banging heads bad. And I was the novice. This was the guy that was so influential of bringing me into the church and into the kingdom of God, bringing me under convictions. And now here I am banging heads with him, of a novice of all novices. But I was learning, I was growing and understanding. So where do Baptists and Pentecostals in the Trinitarian Pentecostal realms go? Usually they're going to go right to the doctrines of tongues. Brother Elliot's dealing with a guy right there. And I started dealing with this man, talking about that. We went into discussions, and boy, he had scriptures and thus and us. But something happened to him one night. The man was a man of prayer. I would be driving out 10 miles, 12 miles from town, and I'd see his car on the shoulder of the road. I'd think, oh man, the guy's broke down or something. I'd pull over, and I'd go and, you know, I'd look around and I said, holler, and man, he'd be off out in the woods. He goes, I just sat here praying. He'd pray sometimes all night long, just walking around out in the woods and doing different things. That was this Baptist boy. I got to talking to him about that. There was a little Baptist church down on the corner, and he went over to pray one night, and he would go down in the basement. And he said, this one particular night, he went to turn on the lights, and he said the Lord spoke to him just as clear as could be. He said, no, just leave the lights off and just find your way up there to that altar area. It was a children's ministry area in the downstairs part. And he found his way up to an altar, and he said he got down and started praying. And this was his testimony to me. He said, you know, Brother Rom, he said, I had never been so scared in my life. He goes, I went down there and started praying, and he said, there was something breathing on my neck. He said, I could feel it breathing breath on my neck. And he said, it scared me so bad, man. And there was such a... And he said, man, I started rebuking this thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said, all of a sudden, there was another language coming out of my mouth. And he started praying in the Holy Ghost. It changed him. It changed him from being a Baptist. No, he stayed a Baptist, but now he was a Baptocostal, I'll call it that, huh? He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he was a tongue talker. Well, he was independent Baptist, and he started teaching the gifts and started teaching the infilling of the Holy Ghost and started teaching healing and was seeing these things happening in his church. Guess what happened? Does it take a rocket scientist to know what happened? He got dismissed and thrown out of the Baptist circles. Well, I was in doctrinal errors myself, but I was still growing, and I got him involved with the Pentecostal organization I was with. I'd done left Missouri, was back out in California, brought him, had him come out there. The guy could preach. He was a preacher now. I tell you, there's some Baptist preachers. You say, where are you going with this? Well, hang on. But he came out, preached some revivals and different kind of things. And I was very influential in getting him established out there and took a church over in Carson City, Nevada. Assemblies of God. Well, I got tired of the government of Assemblies of God, and I seen error in it. before I come to what we would say Revelation, but I saw Aaron and I departed from him. So here I'd taken this man from being a Baptist into Pentecostal, and I stand with blood on my hands. If you want to be right, quite frank about it. He's one of the ministers that came out here to get me out of the cult when I come to Jesus' name. He didn't get ignorant with me like the one that's now gone with his wife that brought divorce to his marriage. She said, my home, she said, you ain't eating this trash, are you? I put my finger in her face. I said, sister, I believe you were there, wasn't you, Pete? I said, sister, don't you call the word of God trash. She went off into a lesbian lifestyle with a prophetess woman preacher, which just in a few short weeks, be quite frank about it, I think less than a month. She in my home to find the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And God busted her marriage up and ran her off with a perversion and ended up being a bartender in a short order of time. Don't mess with the things of God. But this preacher that I'm speaking about, he just sent me a letter and sent me some messages. He said, hey, I watched some of your sermons on YouTube. Said, very encouraging. I think I can convert him again. I hope so. I trust and hope I can. But he came to get me out of this cult I'm in. I got him in my van and I drove over by Little Bethlehem. And we're driving down, what's George Leon Pike Parkway now. And I think it was called, what was it called, Bacchus Road before? And I said, hey, look, there's our work. He said, he wouldn't even look. I couldn't even get him to look over there. I said, look, man, there's the church. He wouldn't look. He was so adamant. It's a fine man I'm talking about. He said, don't sound like it. Well, yeah, there's a lot of fine men that got this old stubborn, hard-headed streak in them. And sometimes God could use that, because when they get established in something of God, they hang on and they're not going to be moved. I don't like wishy-washy people. You take a guy that he feels like he's where he should be and he stands, at least he's got some strength. Let me tell you what Brother Pike said about Baptists one time. He said, at least they got more sense than some of these others because they have a doctrine. Amen. When we read right here, it said to bring a doctrine, hath a doctrine. The Baptists have a doctrine. Amen. Some of their doctrines might be here, but at least they have a doctrine. Many of the Pentecostals, you know, oh, praise God, you know, we get together and we speak in tongues and praise God. Oh, we're not going to talk no doctrine. It gets people separated and turns people apart. Come on now. If we didn't have a doctrine, brethren, we would have doors open in every church in the country. And we can just go anywhere and preach and do what we want anytime we want. But we got to have a doctrine. A doctrine is a qualifier, brethren. If you're not preaching the doctrine that Jesus Christ preached, then let him be accursed. A doctrine is a qualifier. Let's look at these words again right here. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Have an interpretation when the Word of God says it is of no private interpretation. What are we going to do with these things? We have to have a revelation understanding. Here's something that comes a complete cycle around, and here's this guy, for whatever reason, coming back into my life. I need to be careful. I need to watch. I need to see. Man, sincere. My wife was expressed to me this morning. She said, you know, this was many years before we met Brother Pike. And this guy lived, when he'd invite you over to his home for dinner, this is what he'd say. He says, eat it if you like it. Eat it. If you don't, just put it aside, but don't ask what it is. I mean, he had him a .22 rifle, and you'd be eating squirrel, possum, whatever, I don't know. And that's the truth. He was very poverty. He was a man that was in poverty. I don't remember how many children he has now. I think probably 8 or 10. I don't know. He's way up there. I don't know most of his younger children after we went separate ways, but I invited him here. He preached for me over on Fairfield. We sat in my living room. I tried to get into some doctrine with him about Jesus' name baptism. He got mad at me and took off and walked through my house and went back in the guest bedroom and slammed the door. And I sat there and thinking, this isn't good. And I went back and I opened up the door and I said, brother, we've been friends a long time and I love you. But I said, this ain't going to happen. Disrespectful and come back here and slam my door. And I sat down on the bed with him. And I said, we need to discuss this. He made a confession to me. He said, you know, brother, I've looked at this and I've seen it and I agree with it. He said, but brother Rob, if I preach that, I'll lose my church. That was his exact words. We went separate ways from that day forth. We've been here 21 years, so it's probably been 20 years ago that this event took place. You think maybe it's time for him to come to some revelational doctrine? Could be. My son Robert went to church with him two or three times down there when he was living in Missouri. The man, very sincere and very sold out. But back in the day when he would hunt and do different things just to make it through, that man would go down to the post office and he'd put a cassette tape of preaching. He'd say to the postmaster, he goes, I want everybody on rural Route 1 to get a message. My wife and I would sit at a table with him, putting labels on cassettes, putting them in packages, putting stamps and different things on them. And here's a guy that didn't have a church with 15 people in it, putting a message in every single mailbox in a rural route. I don't know how many hundreds of dollars that cost. I don't know where he got it. We supported his ministry for many years, the wife and I. There was times we sent him thousands of dollars because we knew that the man was real. When I was back out working and doing different things, we would send him literal thousands of dollars to help him, to try to do things for him. You say, well, what does this have to do with the message? We're talking about a choosing, brethren. Again, the Lord suffered this word to come back to me as a qualifier, something to qualify. You see, if you want to be a pilot, there's qualifiers such as you got to pass a medical. Then there's another qualifier, you got to pass a written exams. Another qualifier, you got to pass flight tests. And now that you've got it and you're progressing on through the things, there's more qualifiers to go to the next level. If you come to me and you wanted to be a pilot and you said, I want to fly for United or for if they're even still around, I don't know. You're not going to have a desire to fly for this airline and go down there and get a job with them. It don't work that way. There's all kinds of things through the realms to get there. If you come to me and you wanted to be a pilot and you said, I want to fly for United or for if they're even still around, I don't know. You're not going to have a desire to fly for this airline and go down there and get a job with them. It don't work that way. There's all kinds of things through the realms to get there. To get to be there, it's going to take a determination, a pressing, a learning, and an application. Now, if we could talk about that, let me repeat something Brother Pike said about the carnality of education. But he said, we find that our children, to even put them to work out here in the natural work field, that they're going to have to go to school for 12 years. And then they can get this diploma after 12 years of high school diploma. Say, okay, now you've met the criteria and the qualifications. Now you can go be a man. Now you can go be a woman. And he said, now if they do that, what more so we in the ministry? But everybody wants to be a soul winner, and they should be. Everybody wants to be called. Praise God. I wish we could seek for the choosing more so than the calling. The qualifier. The qualifier. I remember telling an individual, and they said, it's always about the man. You know, the woman's no good. The woman this, the woman that. You know, and it's always about the man. And I'm thinking, no, it's not quite exactly right. But woman was in the transgression and the fall, and God made her weaker. And there's a purpose and a plan that where the woman has to come into submission. I take that in the bride aspect of thought, being the weaker vessel, that I must submit myself to the headship of Christ. If I get some kind of a masculine idea of masculinity and I'm better than the woman and I treat the woman as some lesser thing, it shows to prove, perfect proof, I've never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Never. I even got close to it. I was disqualified right there. That would have been a disqualification. If there's something that qualifies, there's something that disqualifies. Amen? As we're looking and making analyzations and trying to think, well, what is this message? What's the purpose of it? The purpose of all messages is for perfection. Now, when we ring the bell again, we say, well, Christ perfected us. I say, yea and amen. But then yet, if the fivefold ministry, we're talking ministry now again, if the fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints, so we're going to have to bring this perfection of Christ into light. Is that correct? Was Jesus God before the manifestation of Jesus? Yes. If I say that I was leaping for joy before the world ever was, okay, then what about him, the Alpha and Omega, the one with no beginning and one with no end? So you see, sometimes through the chronological understandings of intellectual comprehension, we put things into certain orders that we limit God, an unlimited God. The mistakes of trying to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ that are being made, Brother Pike was a man with such a superior depth of understanding and revelation, I don't think I'll ever see or comprehend or understand. That's a bad profession, I know. I should be saying, hey, you know, Brother Rob, it's attainable, press for it and push for it. Manny might be able to do that. Manny may have something in his spirit that could press for that and go on into such great depths of God and things. You say, well, what about you, Brother Rob? I counted the cost. Sometimes it's more than I want to spend. Well, that disqualifies you. You might be right. That's why I pray the way I pray. God, help me. God, I need your help. I need your strength. I can't do this, Lord God. Has that ever come out of your mouth? Lord God, I'm weak. See, if I could disqualify my flesh, then maybe I could find the qualification in the spirit. But until I disqualify the flesh man with his understanding, his retentions, and his knowing, I'll never be qualified in the spirit. Ever. Never. I found some simplistic revelations that seem to be so hid from religion, from the ministry, from the world. And they're so simple that they're hid from the wise and the prudent. And I can't do anything to say anything to get their eyes open up to see it. He must open up their eyes. I'm going to go back now to that scripture. Verse 9, I've gone back over to Luke 16. It says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Some of you got that part down, man. That when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. That's tough. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Qualifiers. Qualifiers. You see, we're not qualified through a revelation of understanding. We're qualified in the faithfulness of the understanding. How can I reveal the revelation of Jesus Christ to you and live in the unrighteousness of this world? Brother Pike was talking to a young man. And he said, little brother, he said, you got no say-so in this matter. He wasn't qualified to speak against an elder of the work because of his state of being. Number one, his age. Number one, he had never even scratched the surface to meet the criteria of the man he tried to speak against. Do you realize that? You see, in the natural world, again, there's things that would qualify me to be able to speak. Brother Pike had men that were qualified to get before a brotherhood and press for the cause and say, look, there's a financial need here, brethren. We need to press in. We need to make a pledge tonight here in men's meeting. You know, we need to make a pledge because this is going to cost us 60 grand to set this meeting in Africa. So let's make some pledges and let's get to meet this need. And you say, is that the way Brother Pike operated? No, I was talking about men that were qualified to operate in that ministry of helps. That was a vision to them. See, some of you, when we talk about these church jobs and stuff, you look at it and think, it's just a way for the money. No, it's a qualifier. You're disqualified from being part of Christian temple work because you've got it esteemed in your mind of being something for somebody else. And you disqualified yourself. See, now we can get down to some word. You say, I know it's going to come to money. I know it's going to come to this. I'm talking about being qualified. You're not qualified because you have shot for the apostle when you haven't made yourself available in the ministry of helps. And you tried to bypass it because you're lofty and lifted up and haughty and arrogant in yourself, in your revelation, in your much revelation, and now your revelation is done for you, is disqualified you. Let's go back to teaching. Okay. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You see, brethren, there's qualifiers. I like that word, Chuck. Thank you. I was struggling with a writing, and I told Brother Chuck, I said, you know, brother, I have absolutely in this writing destroyed everything as a foundation in every church and in every denomination, every work. I said, I've taken in this whole thing and disqualified everything. And I said, but you know, I got to have something. And he said, the mind of Christ. And it clicked. It brought a close to something. See, I was exposing the errors and the wrongs, but I had to come and finish it and cap it off with a capstone. You know, if you're going to say, what's the name of that track? What is the absolute? You know, what is the absolute? What is the absolute? There's things that would have to do with the absolute. Faith would have to do with it. Would have to do with it, yes. Obedience, holiness, a lot of these things. You know, the word of God, we could say the King James Bible, all these things. But then yet, I see people that dress properly in holiness that are lost as can be. And they've used that because we dress properly as the qualification for their acceptance into Pentecostal or into the kingdom of God. And because your church doesn't dress like my church, you're disqualified. But they think, and they've made that the qualifier. Well, it's part of a qualification of dress. But if I put the McDonald's uniform on, I've met the qualifications for me to even go to work and show up to work. But somebody better train me how to work the French fry machine if I'm going to cook the fries, huh? So if I'm qualified by the way I dress and I don't know how to cook the French fries, I'm going to lose my job. Is that right? That's pretty simple stuff, isn't it? So many times we meet one criteria or one qualification, but there's something else that's laying there, but we want to overlook that. I remember ministering a message years ago, and I said, you know, I know there's an old heathen song called The Stairway to Heaven, but just the simple title of that, there truly is. And I remember the Lord dealing with me, and I saw this stairway. You know, we've seen some artists renditions and different things or artwork or whatever of, you know, a stairway going up into the clouds. You know, I've seen more than one artwork projecting that. And I'm hopefully that we're all on this stairway of perfection. Sometimes people don't have enough strength to get their first foot up on top of the first tread to start going up. They need to stand and pray for strength and help that they could start this journey, this course. I could talk about my life. I could talk about my failures. We're reading things here about the unfaithful things and unjust or the unfaithful things just. I've messed up both worlds before. But I'm not going to let that be a stumbling block to put me down and to hold me down. I'm going to get that stumbling block and I'm going to stand it upright. And I'm going to use it for a stepping stone to get to the next place in God. Those things that I count to be failures aren't a devastation as a complete failure. Those are things that I could use to progress. I could see another person walking down the same road that I was walking down and say, hey, brother, I know where that pothole's at. I wallered that dude out. Man, I had to replace the front end on my car, man, but from that one, you know. In the aviation world, the pilots would say, you know, one would say, you ever had a wheel up landing? Or to say, have you had one yet? Oh, I'd never do that. I almost did. And you say, really? Yes. That would have been a really terrible thing to do. Qualifiers. Something that seems so insignificant to you. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. A little bit of leaven. And you just overlook that because you're looking at the other things. Now I'm going to go back to the thing I was saying. As this individual said, oh, it's always the woman and always this and that. But I was telling them like this. Here you are. And I'll take it to the painter's mind for a moment. And you go in and you paint Dale's house for him. And you go and say, hey, Mr. Powell, I'm all done, man. I'm here to get my paycheck. Brother Dale looks in and says, well, you're not done yet. What do you mean I'm not done yet? Well, you know, you were supposed to run the crown in the bathroom. It ain't done yet. They say, but yeah, but look at here. Look at the crown in the living room. Look over here at this door case and look how beautiful and glossy that is. You know, that guy's not contesting that. Yeah, you've done a beautiful job on my casing out here in the living room. Oh, man, my base is looking good. Boy, you cut the ceiling in tight and right. But that's not the problem is. There's another thing that disqualified you from receiving the paycheck because you ain't finished the job. And you could tell him how good you done at all the other 99.5% of the job and how perfect it is. But that 0.5% is keeping you. You could have been gone through 11 years of school and you're a junior in high school and you graduated and made honor roll. And then your senior year, you met this girl. Whoa. Son, she was everything my heart ever desired. Boy, she got me drinking. She got me doping. Got me in immorality. And all of a sudden, my grades plummeted. And all of a sudden, school wasn't important anymore to me. But now I'm going to go there with my senior class and I'm going to get in line up there to get the diploma. For I could go on, they say, hey, they could give me a biblical quotation. Hey, dude, you ran the race well up to the 11th grade, man, but what's hindered you? Well, yeah, but look, man, I was an honor student in junior high school. You know, and man, I'll tell you what, you know, I was the class queen or whatever. I don't know what they... Hey, this is 2017, man. I'm just trying to fit in the times, you know. I don't think being a queen nowadays means you're a woman, does it? I don't know. But you see, there's something that disqualified me. Man, but Brother Rob, I know the Bible better than you. That doesn't qualify nobody. It makes it easier for you to be disqualified, to be quite honest. Much given, much more accountability. Sit around and discuss and, well, you know, man, I tell you, I got this, understand this revelation. It's a stench in the nostrils of God because you've used it to project yourself to be better than somebody. That's not the mind of revelation or the mind of Christ. Brother Tab made a statement to me in the last day or two. He said, you know, I've met a lot of people that they got the right things to say and they talk about these things and they feel like they've got it. But he said, Brother Rob, he said, it's more of a being Christ-like. You want to talk about qualifications? To be Christ-like. What do we do with that qualification? To just simply love the Lord. I made a statement to a man, I don't know who, but I remember talking about it. You know, I could go to these people at Cornelius' place. The Holy Ghost came upon them, amen. The Jews needed a sign. You know, they needed a sign. And man, when they seen them guys, when the Holy Ghost poured on them and heard them speaking in tongues and different kind of things, they got the sign that they needed, but God accepted them. Were they accepted because of their faithfulness in the synagogues? Or because of their much studies or understanding? They were numbered as the unclean. But they've got the gift of eternal life. You see, brethren, we don't need to lose the desire for those simplistic things of God. We need to just say, Lord God, let me get these things that are hindering me out of my life. Let me get these little foxes out of my life. Let me get these spots and blemishes out of my life. I don't want something to disqualify me from being utilized. You say, well, my gift is to preach the gospel. My gift is to be an orator. My gift is to be this and that. Okay, well, let's qualify that gift. If your gift is sacred desk, what qualifies you to be there? I can ask you that question. What qualifies you there? Well, I must be a man full of the Holy Ghost. Okay. What is the Holy Ghost? God's Spirit. Okay. So it's the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell in you. So when you have the same Spirit that was in Christ dwelling in you, the Bible says in your mortal body. So when you got that same Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you, and you no longer live, there's your qualifier, you no longer live. Okay, so now if it's you that no longer lives, then why do you choose where your place is? When you choose your ministry, you choose your calling, and you choose this, you just disqualified yourself because that's you. Are you listening, saints? I'll tell you what qualifies you is obedience to Him. And in many times, because if He sees pride and arrogance and self-exaltation in you, that's one of the biggest enemies to Him. And He disqualifies you. Even though you qualify yourself, He has already disqualified you. Now, because of your great qualifications and your great abilities, you will go ahead and press over His mind, His will, and you will be successful in temporal things. Again, right here, this particular scripture says, he that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in much. If I can't be faithful to the things of unrighteous mammon, to the things of this world, I'm disqualified myself to the kingdom. Have a good name within, without. I disqualify myself by not having a good name within and without. He didn't disqualify. I disqualified myself. Somebody made a statement the other day. It's not that God puts any of them. It was Brother Chugging. He said, it's not that God puts any of us in hell. We put ourselves there by disobedience. He said, I think you made your point this morning, Brother Rom. I hope so. But the thing is, if I look into your life, every one of you brothers and sisters in here, and I qualify or disqualify you is one thing. But you got to do that. First John 4 says, try the Spirit and see if it be of God. I heard Brother Emmanuel speaking on that the other night. And the thing is that I've got to try my desire. I got to try my thoughts. Why am I thinking this way? Why am I desiring this? Is my desires pure? Am I being faithful over the little things, Lord God? The Bible said, despise not the little things. You know, I made a statement the other day. I said, I grabbed the toilet brush and cleaned up a toilet a little bit. Cock-a-doodle-doo. But maybe that's a qualifier. Could you ever think of that? I can't see that, Brother Rob. I can. If I'm too arrogant, too haughty to take and do that, I ain't fit to call myself a Christian. Why would the Lord use washing of feet for a qualifier possibly? Why? Because that was the servant's duty. You know, when you had a servant in them days, those men be walking open shoes. Didn't have socks and things that you were accustomed to. And their feet would get dirty when they would come walking. And they had servants that would wash you and clean your feet before you even come into the home. A servant. So here's my Lord and my Savior drops down on his knees and starts washing his disciples and apostles' feet. A qualifier. Now, if my Lord and my God could do that, then why can't I? Now, he went down to the, you know, we're talking servitude, down to the low things. You know, we want to remember, well, he was 12 years old and he went into the temple and astounded, you know, these wise. Line upon line, brethren. We got to go line upon line. What is the qualifier for the revelation of Jesus Christ? The Holy Ghost. You can't have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You're going to try to obtain it through knowledge, through retention, through repeats of doctrinal things. That is not the thing that qualifies the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, as simple as it is, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That means that you're no longer there. Because he cannot dwell and it be him. You know, if we go to Galatians, the second chapter, he said, you know, when we talk about the life that I now live. In other words, I did live another life. I lived a life as a man. I lived a life in selfishness. I lived a life of self-esteem and prestige and honor and recognition. Paul made statements. He made statements in that way. He said, if anybody's earned this place, I have. Through his obedience of being, you know, a Roman citizen. By being a Pharisee. You know, he started saying, hey, I meet these qualifications. But then he come to find out that everything that he qualified himself with was dung. It was no good. So what qualified him then? When he got his qualifications, he was on a street called Straight. And all of a sudden he got qualified. So all of that education was his enemy. All of that understanding was to him as his expression was dung. So why do we try to go down the same route? Well, you're speaking against revelation and understanding. No, I'm speaking for revelation and understanding. You see, we despise not the little things. When God sees us take care of the little things, then he adds an increase to us. You can add an increase. One day the pastor asked me to take him somewhere. I'd done man, but been knocked down, shaken down, beat up, smashed, everything. And I never had to get on my knees and pray for a light bill. Man, I was a working man. I knew how to work and make money. And man, all of a sudden, man, God knocked me down. Brother George asked me to take him somewhere, and I went and picked him up. I had this old van. I went and picked him up, and he got in this thing. Here's the guy that had a brand new car that his wife was gone in. And he gets in this 20-year-old van with me, and we take off down the road and go, I said, man, Brother Rob, this is nice. I didn't understand that revelation, but I understand it now. I bought a car for $5 at an auction. And I told this to somebody, and they didn't see the revelation of this. I told it to more than one. But that car meant more to me than the car that I paid whatever, $25,000 or $20,000 for before that one. It meant more to me because I was in need and I prayed and God made a way. There was an auction. It was a police auction. And it was cold, terrible, rainy, windy day. Nobody showed up. I didn't just buy one car for $5. I think I bought about 5 or 6 cars that day. I went just about broke. Man, I was trading cars and doing things, but I ended up with a car. But it was from the Lord. He blessed me with a rainy, cold, terrible day that nobody showed up and made some poor little nothing nobody able to afford to be able to buy some cars. Amen. That I could continue to labor and work over at the church and do something for him. And he made a way when there appeared to be no way. Huh? Come on, brethren. And that car meant more to me than the one that I bought. And when Brother Pike gets, he goes, man, this is nice, Brother Rob. And he said, God's raising you up. He said, but he's doing it his way this time. Oh, I could do it my way through my intellectual understanding. I know how to get a job. Boy, let me tell you, I know how to conduct myself. You got you a resume. Let me show you how to get a job. That was my mind. It's my attitude. I told you things, and I'm still a very positive person like that. I think that way, and I hopefully in Christ. I've never been without a job. Things happened with one of our aircraft businesses over in Springfield, Missouri, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to get me a job today. When I come home, I'll have a job. So I thought, well, I'll go try this one. But I went to this man, and he said, why should I hire you? I said, the reason you should hire me because I'll be the best salesman you got. And he goes, well, I like that attitude. And he says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call you tonight. And I said, no need to. I said, sir, if you want to hire me, you can hire me. He goes, I don't do things that way. And I said, well, I'm just telling you, if you call me tonight, I'll already have a job. And I said, I set out today to get me a job and I'll have me a job. And he goes, I like you. He goes, but I just don't do things that way. He said, I'll call you back tonight. And I said, okay, I'll see you. He called me back that night. And he said, hey, I decided to hire you. And I said, hey, I told you when I was there that I was determined to go get me a job, and I got me another job, but thank you anyway.
Amen.
And you say, that's arrogant, Brother Rob. Probably was. But you know what? I got a job.
Amen.
I see guys sitting around, oh, I ain't got no job. You know, amen. You poor thing. You could take my billfold, take my money, take my finances, and drop me off on the north side of town. By the time I walk to the south side of town, I can have me a job.
Amen.
You say, you're lifted up, Brother Rob. Well, if I'm lifted up, I hope it's in Christ. And I hope I can say that, because I was trained that in the carnal mound, the unrighteous mammon. I was trained that way, and I was faithful in that. So how much more so if I speak that in the mind of revelation in Jesus Christ? Come on. The children of the world are wiser in their ways, was what it's saying in some of their ways, because at least they got a mindset. You know what? I'm determined. I'm going to go do this. Well, how about you Christians when you say, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, I don't have the money to do that. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Moses have the money to part the sea? Did he have the money to bring manna down out of heaven? You know, you see, those are principles of God. And sometimes we don't step out by faith enough to see and allow God to move. And we only operate in our measure of faith of our finances and what we see. You ain't never stepped in the realms of faith yet. This is why sometimes when the medical field, you got your faith in your insurance and your medical and your doctors, you hear repeating more through your mouth of what the pediatrician said than what God said. Because that's where your faith's at, and that's where your mind's at, that's where your level's at. And it's all about the doctor. And you know, man, sometimes it's an awesome report when doctor said, man, I'm dying, they can't do nothing. Man, praise God, now we can see the real doctor get to work. Why did you have to wait till that kind of a report? When you should have been there with the Lord. All right. Qualifiers. Amen. What qualifies you? The Holy Ghost. Okay, so how do I know I got the Holy Ghost? By speaking in tongues? Let me look at another scripture here that I might. I like this. The grace of our Lord, we're in 16:24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Not according to what you think, but according to him.
Amen.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world begun. Why is it a secret? You know, there's another scripture in the Word, and I've done some teaching on this in times past, but there's one that said that the Lord comes like a thief in the night. Anybody ever read that? And there's another one that says that the eastern sky will roll back like a scroll and every eye will behold him. Well, does that sound like a thief in the night? Boy, that's not much of a thief, man. You know, with big trumpets sounding, the eastern sky rolling back. But you see, there's two comings of the Lord right there. The coming of the Lord today into these people, into this generation, is like a thief in the night. They won't see him because they're in the darkness of intellectual reasoning and night. But I'm a child of the day. You understand that? And they will not see good when good comes because they're too polished in their own intellectual ethics of thought. You qualify yourself because of scripture retention and knowing your Bible. And I love y'all that study your Bible, man, and know the Word and are skilled in the Scriptures. I think that's awesome. But that doesn't qualify you. A workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Yes, and you should be able to do that. You need to be able to do that. But we're talking about qualifiers. If the intellectual concepts of human understanding qualifies you for the kingdom of God, brethren, then, man, we have totally missed Christ and his mercies. It qualifies you for corporation advance, the intellectual mind. Again, that mind puffs up If we understand the puffing up in that mind, then we're going to stand arrogance and haughtiness. Arrogance and haughtiness, you have got a place that God can't do anything for you. When you're arrogant and haughty and lifted up in yourself, in your education, in your Bible retention, in your scriptures, in your quotes, in your abilities to preach, to dance, to shout, to speak in tongues, and you put those things down as your qualifier, you've disqualified yourself from having God's Spirit really move in your life to the potentiality of a Spirit-filled man or woman. The thing is, humility, humbleness, of coming in to be the least, not looking for the front seat, but taking the back. God will move you to the front. When you move yourself to the front through your vaunted, lifted up ways, you'll be automatically put to the back. You've automatically disqualified yourself. Are you with me, saints of God? You see, this message is easy to minister for this reason. I understand the weaknesses and the strengths, the heights and the depths, the widths and the lengths of it. Because I've tried them all different ways. Brother Pike, one of his leading brethren in the mind of the brotherhood, in this vision that Brother Pike had, the man climbed up where Brother Pike was at. And in the vision, it showed him on this big, long ladder. We were talking a moment ago about a stairway to heaven. And we were looking at this big, tall ladder going up there, and Brother Pike's up on this big, beautiful, puffy cloud. Walking around in this heavenly bliss, and here's this brother shows up. Woohoo, I'm here. He climbed up another way. See, Brother Pike didn't climb up there. He was caught up there. But this man, just the simple basis of this ladder showing that he climbed up another way. Brother Pike did not share this with the brother when he told him the vision. But the guy come tumbling down. And that's the part of the vision that the man knew. Well, Brother Pike was talking with me, and I did not know that this was... a veiled situation. I did not know that because I was very careful about sharing things that he shared. But he said he kicked him down, kicked him off this ladder because he climbed up another way. The Bible said they'll be bound hand and foot because they don't have the wedding garment on. This was a perfect example of we, as the brethren of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we've climbed up another way, and it's our Lord and our God that kicks us off. Because we didn't come in adorned in the righteousness of Christ. But we came with our self-adorning of our own intellectual human reasoning and pride and learning and education. And it's all the enemy of God. How can he get the glory when you've trained? The thing that we need to train is to train and study to be quiet. And then he could use us. And then we could have a mouthpiece. But we got to study to be quiet before we could be a mouthpiece of God. We have got to become the least of all for he could bring us up to the cross and draw all men unto him. That's how he's going to bring them to you or bring them to him is through the cross. Still, it's no different today. A present day crucifixion. And when you cloak yourself around flattery and around people that esteem you and lift you up and exalt you, you will never see the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. Flattery is a gift again on the opposite realm that will diggeth a pit. And men, priests love gifts. If it's out of your mouth on a continuous basis about this one said this about you, this one said this about you, this one said this, this one said this, you're eating from the wrong table. Read what the Lord said about you. Oh, wretched man that you are. Who's going to deliver you from this body of death? At your very best righteousness, you're filthy rags. None of us are fit for the ministry, brethren. None of us are fit to be utilized for the work of the kingdom until we die. We must die that he could live. We must decrease that he could increase. But what we want to do is we want an increase through another mind that we have control and attainable to of human reasoning and education. It's what makes men big in the corporate world, brethren. They press in and edify themselves to an education to go to the next realm. Oh, there's a lot of corruption in that realm. You know, you use another man's skull for a bucket to stand on to get to the next rank, and you fight and you dig. Women sell themselves out in the corporate chain as harlots. being unfaithful to their husbands that are out trying to work and help them and help them raise little families while they put the care of the child into some babysitter or some nursery school or something, and while they're seeking their careers, sleeping their way through. No, not all of them do that, but it's a very common thing. Let's just turn back to some simplistic things, decent things, godly things. Let man be the provider of his home and his household, and let him care and take care of those things. And you say, I'm trying to do that, Brother Robin, but that's why I got to have my wife work, because, you know, well, the thing is, you need to quit trying to do that and let him do that. Amen? Come on now, saints of God. We make things too complicated. Amen? And you say, well, your wife works. She surely does every day. Today's the seventh day, supposed to be resting. She'll probably be working. Probably down there working right now, helping somebody along. Amen. And you say, well, you're not qualified to preach that kind of a message then, and a doctrine. If you're thinking, I need to get my wife out of the work field. Amen. There's many sisters at work, brethren, and we could take this thing totally out of context and understanding. But I'll tell you what, brother, you ain't worth shooting. And I'm going to pray that God burns you in hell when you put your wife out there around a bunch of perverts and a bunch of filthy men that are going to be mauling in their mind over and stuff. And you call yourself a Christian and allow her to be out there in that slop hole. God have mercy on your soul when he burns you in hell. And I'm going to be applauding with him and rejoicing with him when he does it. Thus saith the Lord. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Well, that was a tough rebuke, Brother Rob. Good. I hope it sinks in deep. I tell you what, I'm not hungry enough or need shelter over my head enough to harlot my wife out and to put her out there in the filth of this world. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll move out of a 200 square foot house to go in a pup tent. I'll live on a campsite with my family before I think that I've got to sell my wife out to filth and perversion. Listen to me, saints of God. Amen. You know, there's women that work out there that ain't whores and that they ain't being mauled on that are in decent atmospheres. I understand that. But I'm telling you what, it's when you don't care and it's just like, oh, you know, this and that, and you let them go, you ain't fit to be a husband. Come on, saints. I'm sorry, we got to get back to the old past, man. We got to quit diminishing all of the things of doctrine and understanding and revelations. You know, we want to make the revelation so unattainable for we could feel like we're still got chance. But brethren, this is the time for it to come to full fruition. It has to be. And we keep making it so unattainable, and we keep making it was for somebody else from another dispensation of time. Brethren, we've got to fulfill this thing now. And it's not, we've made it too complicated. It's simply loving people. Simply loving people and helping people and doing the good to the people that hate you and despise you. There's your revelation of Jesus Christ. It shows that you don't no longer live. But when you want to encompass yourself around people that are only good to you, that only do good for you, this and that. Come on, man. You've never seen the revelation of Jesus Christ. I could look at Dale and say, Brother Dale, I love you. I could look at Brother Tab, I love you. Brother John, I love you. Come on. That's easy. You love me. But what about looking at somebody that's trying to rob you and cheat you and steal from you, and then you love them? I had a guy insult me not long back on a $1,000 upholstery job, and something rose up in my spirit, and I didn't like it. And I know my weakness, so I departed with my mouth shut, being silent. When I had the right as a businessman to rebuke the guy, I said, are you going to insult me with this stinking trash? You call this upholstery work? I had the right to do that, but I found something rising in my spirit that to lose control of that, $1,000 don't mean nothing. Nothing whatsoever at all. But I'll see some of you lose your spirit over the wrong stinking hamburger. Or because they put an onion, God forbid. Or they put something in your salad, God forbid. Eat it, shut your stinking mouth. People don't like go to dinner with me anymore. You know? Man, really, Brother Rob, I ordered a salad and everything, but they put this cheesecake down here. You told me not to say nothing, man. I snorted that sucker down, amen. It's good to see you, Glenn. I love you, man. I missed you when you wasn't here. I appreciate the little brother. I don't like to see people leave the work. Sometimes you got to stand back and say, let's take a course and trust and hope that something's going to take place in their life. Oh, there's other works, there's other places. But don't ever come to revelational doctrine and go be satisfied for something else. It'll be a real problem to you. Here it is, 12:38, and I was thinking of closing at 12 o'clock. You say you should have, Brother Rob. You ain't said nothing since then. You're exactly right. It's hid from you. But I'm hoping that something is said to the elect of God here this morning. I apologize to you in this aspect that the preacher's got to come here and preach at himself for too long, trying to get me straightened out. Amen. I love the Lord, brethren. You know, and we can get up here with a false humility and, oh, I'm not worthy of nothing. Well, you know, don't say that unless you really mean it. Because that's an easy thing to say. But you bring damnation and sudden destruction on yourself by talking that way when it's not in your spirit. And let me qualify something real quick, and I am closing. If a man is bringing forth a doctrine of the Lord, and the Lord's giving him a doctrine, and he knows stepping on some people and hurting them a little bit or challenging them and they're struggling, there would be a time for humility at that point in time, saying, hey, brother, I'm no better than you guys, but I got to preach the word. I got to line up with this word, and I bring judgments on myself preaching this word. Amen? You see, then you're qualified to speak a sense of humility. But if there's not that going and get up and just say that I'm not worthy and I'm not this and that, the thing is, brethren, in Christ we are worthy. In Christ we are power. In Christ we know all things. But when we know all things outside of him, then there's something that we'll stand accountable to on the day of judgment. Probably, if I really wanted to get into the qualifications of you and I in the ministry of the gospel of Christ in all aspects, when we read over there at the final chapter of chapter 12, in the ministry of helps, there's qualifications. There was a man that wanted to help Brother Pike in the kitchen during camp meeting. We had a kitchen thing down there. And the guy was down there working, man, working hard, making hamburgers. I mean, this dude was sweating. He was almost embarrassed. He was down there, man, cooking away. Brother Pike told another brother, said, please send word to that man. Thank you for being willing to do it. He's doing a good job, but I can't have him there. The man was disqualified because he smoked. Brother Pike said, I can't use him. See, people might find fault with, but this guy was so pleased and so happy to have a vision. It made him feel so good about himself. And the pastor had to come throw cold water on it. No. The one that threw cold water on it is when the man decided to go smoke another cigarette. He is the one that put the situation. I deal with this on a daily basis, brethren. People get upset with the preacher, and the standard thing is, well, he's just too tough. He's too hard. He doesn't have mercy. People go to the point of saying, man, Brother George didn't do that. I don't know. Maybe he was different the last 5 years. I don't know. All I could tell you how he was the 5 years I was with him. And he didn't have a problem with removing a man from an office. He didn't have problems with breaking fellowship with ministers. Do you remember any things of such, Brother Chuck? He broke fellowship with ministers because of who they fellowshipped with. Not because what they were doing. It was because what they were doing. They were fellowshipping a minister that wasn't fit or clean or right. He said, two can't walk together. Listen, hearing that, brother must be evidently agreeing with him. I can't walk with him. Because if I walk with that man, it makes me in agreement with the other slop hole too. So he broke fellowship. He qualified them to even fellowship them. Try the Spirit, see if it be of God. Make analyzations, make judgments, godly judgments. But this doesn't pertain to family. This is only to dealing with other people. We take our wretched whore mothers in, our wretched whoremongin dads in, our perverted slut sisters in. We take in these people and we say, well, it's my obligation, I'm family. Well, you don't know the Bible or the Word of God whatsoever at all. You don't understand it and you don't know it. And it'll be hid from you. because you've numbered yourself with wiser than God. You're the abomination of desolation because you stood in the and calling this the temple of God, saying that you're a Christian, that you've been spirit-filled, and you got a better mind than the mind of God. He said to break fellowship with them that walk disorderly. But you won't do that because you got a better mind than God does. And you're smarter than God, and you're just the abomination of desolation. If this cuts you a little bit this morning, make changes and alterations. When I was going through qualifications for the next progression in flight school or flight training, and I failed, you know, said, Brother Rob, you blew out your steep turns today. Or Brother Rob, you didn't do good on your under the hood work and stuff. Well, I'm just quitting. Man, nobody could please you. No, I said, let's perfect. Let's get this thing right. Let's get it fixed. Amen. This is my calling, brothers, to perfect you, to bring perfection in your life. But you have chose what you call perfection, and you perfected by the guy climbing up another way with a ladder. I mean, this man was my friend. He was sincere. He was faithful. If Brother Pike was out talking with the brother, and that man was there at his feet, he was there every night, every day he was there. He worked, and if he wasn't, man, he would be there with the pastor sitting at his feet. And here's the pastor that kicks him down off this high, lifted up place. The pastor kicked him down because he seen he climbed up improperly. He disqualified himself of being there by how he got there. Come to understand that revelation. You're trying to climb up in your own self-righteousness, in your own memories, retentions, your own intellect, your abilities and skills. The qualifications of the fivefold ministry is not being an orator or how much Bible you know. I'm sorry to tell you that because I just blew the air out of some sails. That is not the qualification. Yes, you need to be apt to teach, but it's not qualified. Let me tell you, that's the way they hire them in the church world. Go to the Bible. They had men that were chosen to be kings that was children. It wasn't because of their great accomplishments. If you're chosen, it's through the foreordination of God, through predestination, and make that calling and election sure by obedience to submission to it. And I'm going to tell you something. He's going to ask you to do things that you don't desire to do to prove you, to qualify you. You know, when you're flying an airplane, the last thing you want to do is cut the engine or kill the engine or hear it quit. It seemed like my heart ran with the beat of that engine. And when that engine quit, all of a sudden your heart quit too. Oh, God. But to be qualified to be a guy that flies an airplane under normal conditions, you got to know how to fly it under unnormal conditions. So every time you're out flying and you're in training, they're shutting an engine off. I remember they had these little cards and they're sticking them over all the instruments that you fly the airplane with. Well, see if you can fly it without them. And then they put a hood on you. Now you can't see out the window and you got half your instruments covered up. Well, I don't really like this. Well, when God starts qualifying, you ain't going to like it neither. Guess what? It's going to hurt. Jesus sweated drops of blood being qualified to go down De La Rosa. Oh, but he was God. He was man also. And the man had to be qualified. The man cried out, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Come on, saints of God. But brethren, we need to find out and to really analyze and to look and make some analyzations. Yes, you that are called towards an end to the fivefold ministry. Brother Pike was speaking about the fivefold ministry. He said, yeah, a lot of you like the pastors. A lot of you like the evangelists. You forget about the others because you don't have the prophetic utterance in your spirit. But you could be an evangelist. Anybody could travel and preach. Or you could be a pastor. Anybody can keep a group of people together, he said. What about the prophetic part of it? About discernment and seeing beyond. Bible says apt to teach. Are you teachable yourself? That'd be the first qualification, to be apt to teach. You have to be apt to teach. He said the worst thing for a man to do that is called to preach the gospel is to go and preach the gospel. I'm quoting Brother Pike now. Are you in agreement with it? I probably wouldn't be repeating it if I wasn't. He said the very worst thing a man could do that's called to preach is to go preach. He said that is absolutely the worst thing he could do. I'm going to say it again. The worst thing a man could do that's called to preach is go preach. That's what Brother Pike said. Well, I didn't like him anyway, and that just gave you that much more reason. You never heard a word he ever said. Never will. It's hid from you. He said the first qualification of a preacher is submission. He said that is the very first qualifier to submission. I had a brother call me yesterday, and he was talking about trying to do certain things, and he saw a lack of submission on another individual. Qualifiers, submission, qualifier, submission, qualifier, submission. We have submitted to our will, our desire, our wishes, our wants, our pleasures, our taste. Come on now. Let's go get some Mexican food, brother. Man, I'm sick of Mexican. What sounds good? Chinese. So we go eat Chinese food. We pamper our flesh so much. Oh, I'm tired. Go lay that fat, lazy sucker down and let him rest. I want to go for a ride. So you put him in your nice air-conditioned car and take the sweat hog for a ride. You know, you say, God, Brother Rob, you don't have to talk so crude. It's all crude. It's all stench. I talk that way because I'm trying to get you to understand that it's a stench in the nostrils of God when you live this little pampered life. Some of you brethren that pamper to your wife so much, hey, God have mercy on you. You know, you should pamper your wife when she's pampering the kingdom of God and the things of God and seeking the will of God and to submit to you and follow you in the kingdom. But when she's got her own mind and you're barking and jumping like some kind of puppet at a string because she's lofted up in her self-righteous little thing, God have mercy on you. You're disqualified to be a Christian. You say, oh, there he goes again. I thought we were done. I'm dealing with disqualifications, brethren. I tell you, we need to quit pampering the flesh. Maybe that's why I'm preaching so long, man. Food's getting cold, man. The roast is burnt, man. Let's quit pampering that old flesh, man. Why do we fast? Why do we discipline ourselves? To make sure that the flesh man ain't the boss of the ship. He ain't got his hand on the wheel, huh? But how many of us yield full authority over to the fleshly wishes and desires? Boy, I wish I, as a preacher, could say I'm not guilty. But I'll tell you what, maybe that's what qualifies me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I found who the enemy of God was when I looked in the mirror. I didn't walk away not wondering what manner of man I am. I found out by the revelation of Jesus Christ what manner of man I really am, and I could get him out of the way. And until you do that, you keep on pampering him and you polish him up. You get mad at the women for the paint and the powder, and you've powdered yourself up and puffed yourself up so much, and you to man, and everything you do, you love so much, it's because you're stuck in a mind of selfishness and self-will and human deceit. Come on, brethren. You say, I thought you was done. I did too. I love y'all. You think I'm preaching at you like I'm better than you? I just happen to know where the potholes are at. Come on, saints. And when you're not listening, I could say, okay, man, I'm looking on your GPS and you got that sucker fine-tuned for the biggest pothole ever was. And then you won't come bring your old wreck to my shop and want me to stink and put a front end on it for you. I bent both rims, busted the tires, broke the tie rod ends. It's a mess, Brother Rob. And I say, all right, bring it in. Let's wrench on you a little bit. That's what I'm doing this morning. You're more messed up than you thought you was. Putting a little grease in there. Pumping it in there. Yeah, this thing won't even hold grease no more. Pray for me, saints. You think because I could preach this message means I got the victory in this message? When a preacher preaches that way and he's like, boy, I showed them, man, I'll tell you what, man, I really heard from God. I got them. Boy, I put Brother Tab in his spot today. Woo. Man, what kind of stinking ignorance is that? Man, God will burn a man's fields for even thinking that way. I'm telling you, he'll burn your fields. You'll find yourself. I told you about me rebuking a man in men's meeting. I'm closing still. Brother Luffman told me one time, he goes, that's a big door to shut. It takes you a long time. But we was in men's meeting, and these different subject matters or different things came up. And I said, you know, it's a shame. When Brother Pike's up there pouring his heart out and pouring his heart out for you to go to sleep, I said, I think it's very disrespectful. Man, I'm telling you what, I've never dealt with falling asleep in church in my life. But I'm telling you, this was the Lord allowed me to walk in another man's moccasins. I guess Indians sleep a lot. I don't know. But man, I'm in the next church service. I mean, it would have been that Wednesday night. This was on Monday night. I'm telling you, the very next service, I'm sitting in the front, sitting right on the front row. And man, my head looked like that chihuahua with the spring on in the car, man. You remember the 64 Chevrolets, man? Everybody had that little chihuahua in the back seat. Had a little spring boggle hit. Man, I'm looking at Brother Pike, and I'd wake up like that, and I'd go, oh, God, man, what's going on? Then my head would fall backwards, and then all of a sudden I started hearing my words in men's meeting with my big arrogant self. Why did this happen to me? Because what I said was right, but my spirit was wrong. I'm in there with my, you know, man, I never slept in church before, man. You know, I don't go to sleep in church. You ain't right with God, boy, because you went to sleep in church, but I never go to sleep in church. That is not the qualifier for me to preach the message. The thing that qualifies me is the love for that man's soul, not comparing him to myself. But evidently, I must have been comparing him to myself, and my judgment was unjust, and God brought judgment on my head because the way I judged that brother out of my self-righteousness. Well, I had never gone to sleep. Come on now, brethren. I know you've never been there. The qualification to being in the ministry of helps is obedience to him. All right, I'm sorry. I got to go one more quick place really fast, and then I promise you. All right, here we go real quick. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Okay, I just removed tongues as a qualifier. We go over to the gifts that said some with tongues and diversity of tongues that said different tongues, right? So that's not the qualifier. Although I have a gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries, prophecy and mysteries are not the qualifiers. And all knowledge, not the qualifier. Though I have all faith, not the qualifier. You got to have the Spirit. The faith will bring the Spirit. But don't make faith the thing. It's the Spirit. I live by faith. What is that faith for? To bring the evidence of that faith. What is the evidence of faith? The Spirit. Amen. So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, so you have benevolence, and though I give my body to be burned, okay, that's a real great act of crucifixion, but have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Okay, so envy is a disqualifier. Charity suffereth long. Suffering is a qualifier. Come on now. Charity vaunteth not itself. So when you're vaunting about you and your testimony is always built around you and what you are, that's a disqualifier. It's not puffed up when you're overconfident, self-esteemed, and you the one, and you're the one, and you're always got I in everything you say. I this, I that, I this, I that. You're disqualified. You're puffed up in your flesh. So you're disqualified again. Doth not behave itself unseemly. So behavior is part of your qualification. Seeketh not her own. So when you're always after your own, you disqualified yourself. It's not easily provoked. When you're quick to wrath and you're easily provoked, you're disqualified. Thinketh no evil. We're all disqualified. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Too many times we enjoy to see the failures. I told you, the Lord showed me in the Spirit when I got in a motorcycle wreck, there were people dancing in the streets that call me their brother. Dancing in the streets, magnifying the Lord, for they could make Brother Rob Coons no good, for they could stay in their self-conceit of their vaunted up, puffed up ways and say that just proves that he wasn't of God. But they didn't do that when Brother George fell off the mountain or was thrown over in the boat or in the car wreck with his wheels rolled up and different things. They never disqualified him. This shows the devil in them. Amen. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, qualifier. Believeth all things, qualifier. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, qualifier. It doesn't fail. Qualifications are being made manifest when it doesn't fail. But when you fail, there's a manifestation of something happening there. Amen. Of being disqualified. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So get your knowledge as a qualifier. Your speaking in tongues as a qualifier. Again, that head knowledge. Okay? Because those things aren't going to qualify you. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when which is perfect is come, that which is part shall be done away with. When a child shall speak as a child, I understood as a child, but I thought... Or I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put childish things away. Amen. Let's put the childish things away. Let's stand together. Amen. The altars are open. Amen. Now it's Brother Rassico's holding this up, if anybody's holding this up. It's Brother Rassico's fault now. I've done turned the service over to him. The altars are open. And so if he wants to sing for a while or whatever, amen. Amen. Y'all love the Lord today. Praise God, it's 1 o'clock, man. Hallelujah. Now we got some of the Pentecostals even out of the way down there on the lunch line. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
How'd you like to be a Sunday school teacher down there with a bunch of kids, man? You've got a 30-minute program done. The preacher done took 2 hours. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, there's a sister that, she's not here, not in this church, but she, boy, they... She despises to even see me get behind a sacred desk. She hates it because she is timely oriented and she wants to put God on a time clock. You got your 15 little 20 minute time of a message and that's it. And she has, I mean, it just emanates from her in a God awful, nasty way. But I'm merciful. I know some of you don't think I got mercy and I spare them and love them and help them. And as they disrespected my wife in the camp meeting and dishonored her, I still love them and I still help them and still try to bless them. And basically spit in my wife's face in camp meeting and just told her, you're not worth me getting up to even walk over and greet you. That's exactly what she said. Thus saith the Lord, in a veil. Amen. Disrespected my wife and disrespected me as a pastor. Amen. And you know what I did? I went out of my way to love them and to let them know I love them. I called them forth from the sacred desk and said, please testify in my church. I went over and I treated them to dinner and paid for their food and give them offerings and help them. Amen. Because I don't want that man to come alive in me and start orchestrating the things in the kingdom of God. Spit in my face. Speak against my wife and I'm going to love you. Amen. That's because I don't want to live. Amen. But when you keep letting yourself resurrect every time someone crosses your little thing. I told you this is your time, Brother Nucky. It's your fault. Play that guitar. I love y'all. Thank you, man. I got to be careful. I got to be careful. Amen. In prayer this morning, the exhortation went forth a little bit to a spirit. And sometimes the one the exhortation is going through is so numb and so nonchalant they could care less. And another one that's really pressing and trying, they get all tore up. You know, that's the way it goes, though. I would rather be one leaving a service tore up as one sitting there in my own self-conceit thinking, oh, man, praise God. Amen. Let me tell you, what I said this morning was for me and for every single one of you. Amen. Let's get Rob Coons out of the way. Amen. Let's get Sister Hannah Whitlow out of the way. Amen. Let's get Sister Kyriana out of the way. Get Brother Melvin out of the way. Brother Terry out of the way. Brother Jeff out of the way. Brother Jonathan out of the way. Brother, there's a reason the Bible said to mortify this man every day, to kill him out. Oh, you've done great yesterday, but what about today? Let's get that guy out of the way. Amen. He's the enemy of God. I'm not your enemy. I might preach too long, hold you too long, but I'm not your enemy. The enemy is the guy that you let ramble through your mind day in and day out. The one that you allow to dream in your head. Amen. There's the enemy. I wish dreams stopped over there at your night visions at night, but you dream all day long. You're in a dream about being something that you'll never be. And then you let it interfere with your reaching for the kingdom and where God would have you to be. And you live in a daydream. My math teacher had enough revelation in that. He said, Coons, quit daydreaming, man. Get your face in the stinking book. I failed. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a song or two and we're closing. Man, everybody come in the altars this morning. Amen. I love y'all. Wonderful people, wonderful brotherhood, wonderful saints of God. Amen. Brother John, you're in one of the greatest churches in all the world. You know that? I mean that, brother. You're in one of the greatest works because we're real, brother. We recognize weakness and we recognize strength. Amen. We know who to dishonor and we know who to honor. Amen. I'm thankful to be numbered with you. Sing a brand new song. It's amazing grace. Hallelujah.
Christ Jesus paid a debt that I can never pay.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay.
When Brother Pike made the statement that if you're called to preach, the worst thing you do is go preach. You know, I think, wow. He said that too. He said, I know you ain't going to understand that. But there was another way. You're called to be a pilot. First thing you do is go get an airplane and fly off. And you'll be dead. Get qualified. Amen. Be qualified. Amen. The Bible said not to send out a novice. Why? Because they get puffed up. What happens when you get puffed up? You're going to fall. Amen. Allow the Lord to do a work in your life through subjection, submission, and willingness. Find yourself doing the undesirable things in His kingdom. Me and another brother was stood at Brother George's RV. And we had his house tore apart, so he's staying in the RV. We didn't want to interrupt the man of God in his rest and try to take and unhook his RV and move it over to dump the septic system. So we were out there dumping it in 5-gallon buckets. Me and one of the leading brethren at the church. And we're carrying 5-gallon buckets of raw sewage. You know, that's nasty. It don't smell good whatsoever. And we're carrying this thing. Nobody wanted that job. Oh, I'll volunteer to do something that brings, you know, some honor to me maybe. Nobody wanted that job. Nobody wanted to do that. And me and this brother were filling up these sewer buckets. And we had to walk about 150 feet over across the parking lot to dump it into the septic system through the thing. And we were walking. I said, man, this is awesome, brother. I said, man, isn't it so awesome that nobody wanted to do this job and you and I are doing this? I said, man, I'd count this a joy. Amen. And we was over there dumping that thing and going back to get more. Amen. And doing it with a joy in our heart. Now, if I would have listened to that other preacher over there that rebuked me for having nail bags on, oh, that's somebody else's job. That man is so puffed up. That man is going to be in hell, Brother Dale, because of that polished ethic mind that he's imparting into his other preachers. And when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes set in his face and he mocked me, and his 11 pastors stood there with him, 22 of them, excuse me, 11 churches. They put 2 in each church just to prove that they're an heir of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 pastors in 1 work? How could that work? Amen. That's when Henry goes home to Hannah and says, I'm bringing you another husband. We're going to share you. Somebody shoot Henry and let her have the other one. Amen. She'll only have 1 husband after we blow his brains out. Amen. I know I talk crude, brethren, but that's the way I think. A man, that's a crude thing. Kill Henry then. Get him out of the way. I've been trying to kill Henry ever since he's been here. Amen. Trying to kill Brother Rob too. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys hear Hannah say amen when I told her I'm trying to kill Henry? I love y'all. Appreciate you. Get Brother Terry Smith to come up and dismiss us. I love you all. Pray for me as I pray for you. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.